Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Casey's General Stores. And today we're going to get some racing history from race car driver and late model stock car builder Steve Wise. We're also going to hear from Bob Baker, executive director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. We're also going to hear from Hall of Fame sprint car driver Terry McCarl, and another great recipe from our old friend Speed at Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Record-breaking yields and low harvest prices. The value of on-farm storage is higher than ever. Start planning for next year now. An on-farm storage system from NASCO Equipment gives you the marketing flexibility to capture the best prices when the timing is right. And that can make a huge difference to your bottom line. Call us, NASCO Equipment, your local Baylin, GSI, and Farm Fans dealer. And make an investment now that will maximize your farm's profitability year after year. Call NASCO Equipment of Fairmont or International Steel Erectors today at 507-235-9506.
Hey friends, it's Speed the Sauce Man. At Cookies, sauces and seasonings are our business. Food is our passion. Our Cookies Flavor Enhancer and Rub is the most versatile blend of spices on the planet. Try it in marinades, on meats and on seafood, on baked potatoes and vegetables, in pasta salads and popcorn, and anything else that needs a flavor kick. No matter the meal, our Cookies Flavor Enhancer and Rub makes taste buds happy. Remember, smart cookies use Cookies.
Cookies is the one.
Summertime's all about easy living at Casey's General Stores. We know how busy it can get, so make it simple and order online through the Casey's app. Don't forget to check out all of the new items available to order online, including our breaded pork sandwich, chicken tenders, potato cheese bites, hamburgers, and more. And right now, get a large made-from-scratch taco pizza for just $13.99. Casey's, famous for pizza.
Midwest Collision has earned a reputation as the area's collision repair professionals, locally owned with over 40 years of combined experience. If you're involved in an accident, Midwest Collision Center in Faribault can handle all your repairs, all on site. All insurance claims welcome, providing you with a free loaner vehicle while yours is fixed. Call Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., 332-2434.
Napa Know How!
Buckets are good. Good at storing, carrying, and hauling all kinds of stuff. But the Napa bucket for $3.99 does more good than that, like getting you 20% off three or more items that fit inside, and donating a dollar to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. So do our soldiers and yourself some good and save 20% with the Napa bucket. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Exclusions apply. Offer expires 7/31/17.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna. Licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on the Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on the Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be down in my friend Larry Johnson's home down in Northwoods, Iowa, and the opportunity to interview builder and race driver Steve Wise. Steve, where did you grow up and how did you gain the skills working on and building things?
Well, I grew up between Manly and Plymouth, Iowa. I grew up on the farm where we're at today. I just always had an interest in cars, and from a young age I started making scooters and put motors on bicycles and stuff, and just doing that. I suppose I was 12 years old, maybe 13, my cousin took me to my first stock car race. From there on out, that's what I wanted to do. I seen my thing. I got to meet Ted Zeman from Mason City. He was one of my idols. Harvey Patterson from Northwood was another one. Another guy that I really liked and seen how he raced was Dave Bury out of Austin, Minnesota. One of the smoothest racers I've ever seen run. Anyway, I really took an interest in it, and I started building my first race car when I was about 16 years old, 17. Well, at that time, there was an age limit. You couldn't drive until you was 18, which sometimes I think it should be today. But I really took a real interest in it. And my idols, going back to Harvey Patterson and Ted Zeman and guys like that, I got to be great friends with them later on. And I even built cars for them, late model race cars. That's pretty much where I got my initial start.
One thing you mentioned, farmers and racers, they really have a lot in common because you're out in the middle of a hayfield, you got to get that crop in, you know, thunderstorms are coming and that hay rake breaks. You figure out a pretty ingenious way to get that thing fixed and get it back going so you can get done what you need to get done.
Yep, that's true. And my dad was really good. My dad always wanted me to be a carpenter too because he was a great carpenter. I just never really got into it that much. I got all his tools and all of his equipment yet. But my dad bought me a welder, a Lincoln welder, 225 amp when I was a young kid. And I was probably 11, 12 years old when I started doing that and just practicing and making stuff for out to the farm and for the neighbors and things like that. Then it kind of slowly progressed from there. But you learn a lot of things around the farm because you have to do all that stuff, even like driving. I used to drive out in the field when I was probably 10, 11 years old. Race around the field with an old 49 Chevy pickup.
What did the race cars look like when you first started attending races?
Well, most of them, when I started attending, the common car to have was a 55 to 57 Chevy, which was a lot of them. You've seen some, maybe 61s. Rex Gard of Albert Lee was always a Ford Runner, number 28, I remember. Him and his brother, Lawrence Gar, they had just the most immaculate Fords that you could ever imagine. Ole Brewer was another one out of Albert Lee. At that time, he had about a 64 Ford. Ole was a heck of a racer in his day. He raced a lot of IMCA, and he was just a great guy.
When did you get started racing yourself, and what tracks did you start at?
I got started racing myself about 1972. I started racing at Mason City, which I consider my home track. I like the half miles, but Mason City I raced at. I raced at Cresco, which was a 3/8, a little flatter than it is today. I raced some at Webster City. I raced some at Fairmont. I raced about every Saturday night at Des Moines at the state fairgrounds. Big half mile, tight corners, flatter than a pancake. It's an old horse track, you know, so I like that track. But I always figured the further south you went in the state of Iowa, Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Osceola, I always said, if you want to find out how fast your car is, just take it to Oskie on Wednesday night. You'll get an education in a hurry.
You had some success behind the wheel of a race car because I have a picture of you holding a trophy to prove it.
Yeah, I had some success. I always think I probably didn't have the money behind me. I kind of learned by doing. When I first started out, I wanted a Sanger car. Eddie was a heck of a builder at the time. Probably some of the most successful race cars built in the state of Iowa or in the Midwest were Sanger chassis. But mine evolved on my own. Then a deal come up that I bought. I didn't buy much with it, but it was mostly equipment, was SCE. And then I started building stock car enterprise chassis. And I changed the design of them from what they were. And we had a lot of success. You know, we had some failures too. I'll be the first to admit. The thing is, people buy cars because Bob Shyrock was one of the kingpins of my operation. But everybody thought if they had a car like Shyrock's, they could drive like him. But Bob was an exceptional driver. And I don't care how good a car you have to have the right combination. And I always said, going back to Dave Bjorge, for example, and a lot of them guys, Bjorge had the perfect combination. Bjorge was one of the smoothest drivers I ever seen race. He had a heck of a mechanic in Roger Cooling that was dedicated to him, and he had a heck of an owner in Dick Trimble. Then Jerry Fritz down our way, who's passed away now. A lot of them have passed away. I think all three of them that I mentioned, with the exception of Dave Bjorge, has gone. But they had the perfect combination. Fritz bought him tires. And I always thought, how do I beat that? Well, now that I'm older and more mature and everything, I think back, well, pretty hard to beat a combination like that when I was doing pretty much everything on my own.
Who were some of the other builders at the time other than Ed Sanger?
Well, I'd say Eddie Sanger and myself were probably the two major ones in the Midwest, especially in the state of Iowa. There was some around Cedar Rapids. Like, I can't even tell you their names, but nothing like it is today. The thing back then was you built the car, the whole car. You didn't buy stuff. I was talking to you a little earlier. I got junkyard springs. I'd raid them. I had my own spring raider. I'd cut them down and cut the coil size down. I ran a little longer spring than what you'd normally see, like a stock car product spring, but I knew Tom Hamilton that had stock car products, but them springs were always too heavy. That was more geared towards asphalt and things like that. But dirt, you wanted that suspension to move and work for you, and that was the big trick there. But we built everything in-house, pretty much everything. I could tell you some stories about that. Dick Hutcherson and Ramo Stott were two good friends of mine, acquaintances I made, and I went down in 1978, down to Holman and Moody and Hutcherson Pagan, and we designed a front end down there. I got to know them guys real good. In fact, I got an opportunity, had a couple job offers from down there, from Hutch, working for Hutcherson Pagan. Then I had an opportunity from Junior Johnson to go work for him because I knew Bobby Jones was one of his car chiefs down there when Herb Nabb was his crew chief. And I got to know them guys pretty good, and they both offered me jobs. But my dad was getting kind of sick. I decided I wanted to stay around home because NASCAR really wasn't my thing anyway. I loved dirt racing, and I always said blacktop is how to get to the racetracks. Dirt is to race on.
One thing you brought up a little bit earlier is just because you have the exact same car as one of the guys out in the track that's winning doesn't mean you'll be able to do anything with that. I've heard more stories about cars getting bought right out of Victory Lane, or one of them, Gerhard Wallenberg, told me that his boss wanted his car something awful because of how well he was doing and thought he could drive just as good as Gerhard until he bought the car and couldn't make it do anything because it was set up for Gerhard's driving ability.
That's right. I've seen guys do that. I've seen a lot of guys do that. Buy a car right off the Victory Circle, like you said, Victory Lane. If you're going to buy a car, by the way, that's how to do it. But driver means a lot. Today, more than anything, I think things have evolved a little bit that setups are very important. But back then, when we were running mostly leaf springs and the way the cars were set up, you had to rely on more driver ability. But the camaraderie was there. It was a big family back then. From when JJ started racing, after he started, you didn't have so much of that. We were close. Ted Zeman and me were really close friends. He's passed away now, but his grandson, Josh, is racing. I go down and see him every once in a while, and he talks to me about the old days because I know a lot about his grandpa and stuff. But Ted was the kind of guy, I'll go into drivers, for example. Ted was the type of guy that could get in a car and bull the car around a racetrack. He just had that ability, and he could drive anything. He was more of the A.J. Foyt type, where he could get in a sprint car, a midget, a late model. It didn't make any difference with Ted. Mike Niffenegger was that way. He could get in anything and adapt any type of track. Mike ran the other house car along with Schreyock. Bob was a more calculated driver, Bob Schreyock. And, of course, we won the track championship at Webster City, Alta, and Fairmont 3 years in a row, all three racetracks, running a house car. But Bob, you get him out of that realm, I mean, he was still competitive, still good. But you get a guy like Niffy and Ted Zeman, they just ran. I mean, I don't care where you was at. Even with Bob, you were going to win races. And then you'd sell a car to somebody that was racing against them, and they thought you was doing stuff to their car that they wasn't being made aware of. And I mean, I went through all kinds of gamuts of that type of stuff. I'll give you an example. One afternoon, because they didn't have lights at the time, was racing at Clay County Fair in Spencer. We broke a rear end. We was headed to North South Dakota. The deal, just like they have today, started in Minot, and then it drifted down, and it culminated in Rapid City. Well, Mike got in a car that I built. I'm not going to mention no names, but got in a car that I built that the guy was been struggling with, and I'd been working on the car, and he finished second in the feature. Probably the best that car had ever done up until that time was about 5th to 10th in the feature. And Mike had to start towards the back. But the driver makes a lot of difference, a lot of difference.
One of my all-time favorite drivers who drove for you, Denny Anderson, he's in the Kossuth County Hall of Fame. Many of your drivers are in Hall of Fames throughout the area.
Well, Denny and me were kids, and Denny was a couple years older than me, but Denny was a great guy. I'm still great friends with him. I don't see him that much. But Denny, you talk about longevity. I mean, here's a guy that's been doing it for 45 years at least. You know, we had our struggles back then too. I mean, but we had a lot of good times racing together all over the country. Denny could adapt anything. Denny's got a lot of sheer guts is what I would call it. He's just a good individual. He's had a lot of success with the modifieds. And I'll be honest, when we first started introducing that lightweight late model with a lightweight front end, we had some issues with it. And I'll be the first to admit it, but I think we worked through it. But it just seemed like back then you had to work it out yourself. You couldn't sit there and keep buying pieces, and that's what a lot of these guys do today. And they get mad, and if they don't like a car, they just go to another builder because there's so many builders out there.
You also had NASCAR legend David Pearson driving one of your cars.
Yep, he drove a car for us down in this area in Mason City. I worked with him on other deals too, but in Mason City it was Bruce Bushell's late model. He finished fourth that night and started in the back, finished fourth. My house car, Mike Niffenegger, started in the back right alongside of him and won the feature at Mason City. At that time, it's called the Golden Hawk Speedway. Well, Floyd Lennox was the promoter. He was from Austin, Minnesota. So we got talking, and David was a heck of a good guy. I got to know him through Dick Hutcherson, and David was a great guy. I said to Dick one time, I said, we want to get a Serie A special going and do some stuff with a NASCAR guy. I said, who would you recommend? He said, there's only one guy that I'd recommend other than myself racing. And he said, I got other commitments, but he said, it's David Pearson. That was the time him and the Woods brothers was right in that era when all heck broke loose with them. When he lost that wheel on pit road, the wheel flew off. In fact, I think it was two wheels, maybe, to the two inside wheels, iron wheel. But we got talking, and he wanted to know about the track and stuff like that. And Niffy told him, of course, Mike Niffenegger, who's just passed away in the last couple months, he told him, you want to know the fast way around this racetrack, you just follow me. So David come in after the feature, and Mike won, and David says, well, I tried to follow that old boy, he said, so long, and he says, I just couldn't take it anymore. He said, so he ended up winning the race, but he said, I give it a gallon effort. I said, you done great. He really did, because that's the first time he's ever been in that particular car. So I was real pleased with it, how it went. But Mike, he was extraordinary. I think that year we raced at Golden Hawk or Mason City. I don't know if it was that year or the year after. I think we raced there eight times and won seven features.
You also built Dave Noble's last late model that he ever raced.
Yep, I built that, and Dave was an old friend of mine, and got to know him, and I'll tell you what, people seen Dave run it the last few years. I remember when Dave was on top of things, when he was driving for Bud Stevens out of Fountain City, Wisconsin, and had about a 71, 72 Monte Carlo, and he was the man to beat, and followed him many races over at the Austin Fair and Cresco. I raced them a lot down there, Independence. Dave come down there a lot. Dave was a guy that could make anything work. I always call it the Noble Bolt, you know. I seen him wiring the radiator in the race car one time, actually using baling wire. Dave is a great guy, a great friend of mine. He's had some health issues, and Mark learned a lot from him. I used to be around Mark a lot. I had a issue with some blood clots not too long ago. I was in Rochester in St. Mary's, and I think the first phone call I got was from Mark Noble. And Denny Anderson called me, of course. And in fact, I talked to Mark. I'd talked to him. I'd bugged him for years. I kind of wanted that car back to see if I could buy it back from him. And we finally struck a deal. And next thing I know, Mark's bringing it down one day. So I got it stuck away. That's my long-term plan to fix it. But I got so many things I want to restore and rebuild. I don't know. It ain't going to be the next year or two. I want to get at it, though.
Many fans know your son, J.J. Wise, who races the number 68 modified in this area. Many fans will remember JJ's accident a few years ago where he got hit in the head by a large chunk of debris. That was a life-changing night for the entire family.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I didn't know what to expect because promoter Joe Ringsdorf come down, and Joe and me are good friends, and he come flying down the racetrack. I was standing by the side with Ted Bear, who used to own Ted Zeman's and Mike Niffenegger's cars. And Mike and me were standing there, and him and JJ are close. The wreck was taking longer than it should have. JJ went off the track after this piece hit him, and Joe come up to me and he said, you got to get down there right away. JJ's hurt pretty bad. And you talk about stuff going through your mind. I jumped on Joe's four-wheeler and took it down there, and I just breathed a sigh of relief when I seen JJ standing beside the car. They had got him out by then, and he was standing there, but his head was all swollen up and blood was coming out of his mouth, and it didn't look like he had any teeth. And I said, God, you got any teeth left in your head? And he goes, oh, he was just moaning. He said his jaw was kind of warped over to one side, and took him to the hospital, the ambulance over at Mason City. And then about a day and a half later, we took him up to Rochester, and he had about 10 and a half hours of facial surgery, wired his jaw shut. He broke his jaw in both places, shattered both cheekbones, broke his nose and his right eye socket. So he was laid up for quite a while, but he got to where he could still auction. You know, we make our main living as auctioneers, and he got to where he could auction with his jaw wired shut. He'd just stick the mic right up to his mouth, and you got to be pretty legible doing that. But it was tough. Then our daughter, the night after he had his wreck, had a baby that was 3 months premature. And a funny thing happened. I was sitting in the waiting room in the hospital waiting for it, and they sent down Mayo 1 from Rochester because of Liberty being a preemie. By the way, she's turned out great. But thank God for the medical facility we have as close as we do between Mayo Clinic and St. Mary's Hospital. But I was just laying in there, and the guy said, what's your name? And I said, Wise. And he said, well, I know a J.J. Wise from this area that races. Do you know him? Or I said, yeah, I know him real well. I said, he's our son. I said, if you want to see him, he's on the floor above. He got busted up last night racing at Mason City. But it's just kind of an ironic thing that because he said he watched him. We ran an open car for a while up at Deer Creek, too.
You also have an interesting story about what happened to the new fire suit that JJ was wearing that night. He was pretty adamant he didn't want them to cut it off of him when he got to the emergency room, but they cut it up into pieces and somebody made a miracle out of what was left of that suit.
Yeah, he cut it up and he said, if I'd have known that beforehand, they let us in after so long. We waited out in the waiting room. I mean, a lot of his fans were there at the emergency room. It was full of his fans. And like I said, Ted Bear was down there and Clocky, who was a good sponsor of ours at the time, Chuck Clocky. And we were all waiting there in earnest. I didn't know what was even going on. And finally, they let us in. And they said, well, them coveralls he had on, we had to cut them off. And that thing, I don't know what that thing strapped around his coveralls, but we cut all that off because we thought he had a broken neck. And I said, well, the coveralls were a $1,500 fire suit. And I said the thing around his neck was a LaJoy head and neck Han safety device. So I said, that's why he wore that, so he wouldn't break his neck. Well, we cut it off, and my wife was sitting there with me and JJ's mom, and she said, well, I can fix it for you. Don't worry about it. Well, then they pulled it out, and it looked like a quilt you'd hang on the wall. So my wife, one day she had a brainstorm. She said, I'm going to make a little fire suit. I got a JJ and an AJ. His son's name is Axel Jacob. So she cut this fire suit all down and formed it to fit him for his first birthday. And that was his Halloween costume that year, JJ's old fire suit. So it's kind of cherished, just a deal that will hang around for forever, you know.
And that picture actually made the back page of Dirt Modified magazine.
Right. Got to know Cindy Stifler. We was racing out at Vegas, and that was the fall after JJ's wreck when he got everything back in order. And Kevin Stoa was a great friend of ours, and Stoa built motors for us. And so Stoa and us went out there, took our hauler and Greg Jensen's trailer, and he had a stacker trailer, and we hauled both cars out there. Greg Jensen, who races up at Deer Creek, him and JJ are affiliated in Land Pros, land auctions, and they will auction just about anything, but their specialty is land around southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, or anywhere you want them to go. So we went out there and raced. That was an education, but JJ was doing real good most of the time, but we just had some issues with, number one is a lot of times you go to any of them specials. I don't care if it's the Super Nationals. I don't care if wherever it's at. A lot of it's luck of the draw. It's like Earnhardt used to say, I'd rather be lucky than good. It's an old quote that I've always said too. We had a lot of fun. It was a pretty expensive trip. There again, I'm from the old school. I know Brett Rutt real well, and there was some things I didn't like about the format. I don't like these guys coming in and racing no IMCA races all year long, and when the big shows come, they show up. I'm a believer in, it used to be at these state fair or any of these fair races or anything, if you didn't race two races prior at that racetrack, you didn't race in the specials. And I think that's the way it should be. And Brett and me kind of challenged each other. And he said, what, are you afraid of competition? I said, no, I'm not afraid of competition. I don't want somebody coming in, taking the money from these guys that have had your back all year long and paid the dues doing that. And these other guys come in. I said, they're professional race drivers, you know, that race dirt. We've raced against a lot of guys like that. But I think on something like that, there should be rules and regulations that they have to run a minimum in these $10,000 to $50,000 shows. If they haven't raced 7 or 8 IMCA races throughout the year, they're not eligible to run in it. I think it's very simple.
Are you still able to get out to some races as a family?
Yeah, we do some. We haven't been a lot this year. JJ kind of took a hiatus. He said, I want to make some money for a change instead of spend it all. So he's got an acreage over between Garner and Clemmie. Beautiful setup, and he's fixing it up, and he wants to get his shop fixed up over there. That's his main thing now, because it got to be so far to go between where he lived. It's about 45 minutes up to my shop in Manly, or our shop, and so he wants to have his own thing over there. And I think he'll probably, I know a guy right now is offering him a late model deal, but I think he just wants to try to concentrate on his family and making some money. He's very busy in the auction business. He does about 5 car auctions a week, doubles up on one day. So he works 4 days a week with the exception of Monday. And then the Land Pros thing, that's growing and more all the time.
Well, Steve, I know we barely scratched the surface on your racing knowledge, but I certainly appreciate you taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
It's my pleasure being here, and maybe next time we can get JJ here too, but he was tied up tonight, so I'd be more than happy to come and talk anytime.
That would be cool. Thanks for your time.
You bet. Thank you.
After many years working on and repairing large commercial vehicles, Rod French opened his own welding, repair, and fabrication shop. For the past 15 years, Rod has run his fabricating business at his country home, offering welding and fabrication, as well as truck frame extensions. In 2012, the business expanded to include designing, building, and installing power lift hydraulic doors. From French's Repair and Fabrication Incorporated, Incorporated, and Powerlift Doors by French Manufacturing Incorporated. Give us a call at 507-374-9306.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie is the place to go for your next golf cart. And now with two locations, Miners Outdoor can serve you even better. Be sure to check out More Golf and Utility, located just 3 miles east of I-35 in Lakeville. Remember to ask about Club Car's new consumer golf cart, Onward. That's Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie and More Golf and Utility in Lakeville.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
Why does World of Outlaws sprint car driver David Gravel use Walker Performance Filtration Systems?
We use Walker Performance Filtration Systems because it keeps the dirt out of our engines, making our engine builders happy, and we did not have one engine failure last year throughout the whole World of Outlaws season, and they perform great on the dyno, and they translate that to the racetrack.
See WalkerPerformanceFiltration.com or call them at 818-252-7788.
Working at my job, going all day long, don't want to go and mow my lawn. Picking up the phone book, and what do I see? I see Wolf and Sons can do it for me. Dandelions, I don't want to spray. Free estimates are coming your way. Don't hesitate and learn about more. Call 455-3524.
And if you have some really big outside jobs, Wolf & Sons has the dump trucks, loaders, and graders you need to haul in driveway gravel, black dirt, and clear building sites.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packaging when it comes to shipping your business products? Hi, this is Ryan. Here at Foamcraft Packaging, we provide a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all of our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call toll-free 1-844-655-2365. That's 844-655-2365.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is always a pleasure to have Bob Baker, Executive Director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, here with us on The Dirt Show. And Bob, I can't wait. Me and my brother are coming down to the Knoxville Nationals this year, and I know we will be spending a lot of time at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame because you have stuff going on all day, every day.
We sure do, Clayne, and thank you for having us on the show today. It's always a pleasure to be on The Dirt Show with you.
I enjoy talking to you because we both have a big passion for the sport.
Well, I tell you, it's really rewarding when people in the media like yourself enjoy the racing, the sport of sprint car racing, and enjoy the history like we have in our museum and can share it with your listeners and encourage people to come by and visit and just see a little bit of what's going on here at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
You also have drivers coming in doing meet and greets and autograph sessions all during the Nationals. And also, like last year, one of my friends, Mark, was down there, and he runs into Tony Stewart and snaps a selfie and sends it to me, and you never know who you're going to run into.
You really never do know who you're going to see going through our museum. You know, Tony's been with us. He pops in unannounced and just goes through the museum to look at the race cars and the memorabilia. And I think he's been here with us some point during the day. The last 8 or 9 years, he's come in to see things that are going on. Kyle Larson always comes in when he's in town. Ricky Stenhouse always stops by. And like you said, you just never know when Kenny Schrader, Tony Stewart, or any of those guys are going to come by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Museum. We do have a very good lineup, a strong lineup this year that starts with our salute to champion Sammy Swindell. We've got 8 of Sammy Swindell's race cars in our museum, brand new TV monitors, wonderful footage of Sammy's illustrious career, 2 brand new touchscreen monitors for race fans to learn more about their favorite race car that Sammy drove. And we're going to kick the whole thing off on Wednesday, August 9th, the first day of the Nationals at 11 o'clock in the morning. Sammy Swindell will reunite with a special gathering with his former teammates up on our second floor. That's going to be, again, at 11 o'clock on Wednesday is when that starts. Then at noon, we do meet the Knoxville Saturday Night Drivers with Bill Wright up in our movie theater. At 1:30, Johnny Gibson will be with us to talk about the World of Outlaws, life on the road with the World of Outlaws. And that's just Wednesday. This goes on all 4 days of the Nationals. Thursday, we have David Mills talking about international sprint car racing in our theater at 10 o'clock. We have our members-only VIP reception with Donnie Schatz. And that's going to be at 11 o'clock, and Donnie will be interviewed by Dave Argabright. That's always very popular, and if you're not a member of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum supporting members, you can join for only $25, and you and a guest can go up and listen to Donnie Schatz and Dave Argabright talk about Donnie's career and what's happening with Donnie and his team for this year's Knoxville Nationals. Again, that's at 11 o'clock on Thursday. At 12 noon is Sprint Car Safety with Greg Nickel from Speedway Motors. 1:30, we'll have Larry Bose from Eldora Speedway talking about the State of the Union and Sprint Car Racing. And then at 3 o'clock, we'll have book author Tom Touts talking about his new book, Thunder Road, up in our theater. That's Thursday. Friday, Sprint Car History with Gary Geeler, 10 o'clock. 12 o'clock is Meet the Women in Sprint Car Racing, which has always been one of our most popular special events during the Nationals. That'll be at 12 noon up in the theater with Lexi Mills, and usually they have about 12 to 20 of the ladies in Sprint Car Racing with us. And then at 1:30, another one of our most popular events, that'll be 1:30 Friday, Meet the Pennsylvania Posse with Bruce Ellis up in our theater. So we've got plenty of events. Of course, it's capped off Saturday afternoon with our big Knoxville Nationals auction that we have at 12 noon up on our second floor, and then the Knoxville National races each night, all four nights, right here on the big track at Knoxville. So it's a big week for us. We're open from 8 in the morning all 4 days until the races are over each night. Usually the races are over 10:30, 11, so we're here till about 11 o'clock at night for people to stop in during the races or after the races are over if they'd like to do a little shopping before they go home. So it's a great 4 days and four nights of racing and events here in our museum.
Bob, I can't wait to get down there. It's going to be an awesome event. If fans would like to find out more about the museum or check it out on your website, how can they do that?
They can go to our website at sprintcarhof.com. Also, they can look on Facebook for a National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. And one thing we didn't talk about that's also very popular is our Sprint Car Celebrity and Driver Autograph Sessions. We hold those every day in the museum back in the Bob Trossel Garage from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. We have different drivers and celebrities in Sprint Car Racing that come back, talk with people, sign autographs, take pictures. It's not a long 300 or 400 person line like some of the autograph sessions I think some of the fans are used to. It's a very easygoing, and it's a nice way to spend the afternoon in the museum in the air conditioning and getting some great autographs.
Bob, I know I will have my pocket full of Sharpies, and I'll be ready for a great day at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Clean, thank you so much, and thank you and all of your listeners for stopping by while you're in Knoxville for the Nationals. We've got just an outstanding lineup, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody in Knoxville.
Duradoc strength and durability withstand the water and elements 24 hours a day. Duradoc's all-aluminum welded construction, stainless steel fasteners, and non-slip surface that stays cool even in the hottest weather. It might just outlast your water skiing days. Whatever you need, roll-ins, floaters, or sectionals, Duradoc has got you covered. And best of all, no tools are needed for installation, which leaves you more time to enjoy the lake. Contact Tony today at 641-529-0698 for standard or custom sizes. The last dock you will ever need to purchase. Duradoc.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels can be seen on the dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact, the Arrow 59 Series wheel has won more Monster Energy, NASCAR, Xfinity, and Camping World Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see arrowracingwheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
The big boys with the big toys.
We got the right stuff to get the job done. We can get it done fast, we can get it done right.
We're not messing around with those silly toys.
Fire them up, let the horses run.
The big boys with the big toys. Dale Enterprises.
If you're like me, you hate when your outdoor gas-powered equipment won't start. What I've learned is that most of these breakdowns are caused by ethanol and street gas, which eats up the fuel system, and warranties don't cover fuel-related repairs. Well, the experts at VP Racing Fuels developed a solution called VP Small Engine Fuel. It's an unleaded fuel blend with no ethanol, so it prevents those problems. The unleaded fuel is perfect for four-cycle engines, like lawnmowers or generators, and for two-cycle equipment like chainsaws and trimmers. VP's fuel is pre-mixed with oil. That means no measuring or mixing. Just pour it in and start it up. You'll find VP Small Engine Fuel, or SEF, in quart size and 1 gallon containers for smaller tools and 5 gallon pails for larger equipment. Try VP Small Engine Fuel, available at the Home Depot, or visit vpsef.com. That's vp-sef.com for more information. VP SEF is for use in small engines only and may not be used in motor vehicles.
Thank you.
Rhino Ag is now raising the bar even more by being the only manufacturer of rotary cutters in the world to factory fill all components with Lucas Oil and grease, adding even more value to the Rhino brand over the competition. Quality from the inside out. Visit rhinoag.com to find a dealer near you.
Welcome back to a special segment here on the Dirt Show, and it is always a pleasure to be joined by Terry McCarl. And Terry, let me tell you, I was down to Knoxville June 3rd induction ceremony this year, and I tell you what, personally, when I think about Knoxville, I think about Terry McCarl. You've been such a powerhouse down there for so many years, and it's just great to come down to the track and see your race, see your entire family, your involvement, your history. To watch you walk up and accept that plaque was really cool for me, and it had to be incredible for you.
Well, it really was. You know, it was probably more important or meant more to me than I even thought when I first found out. It's what we do for a living, but it's our whole life, and it always has been. And, you know, it's not just an honor for me, but it's an honor for my whole family.
And another thing I thought about after the fact is, 100 years from now, me and you won't be here, but it validates all of the efforts that you put in, the late nights, gutting it through injuries, all of the time away from the family or on the road with the family when you could have been doing something else. It really validates, hey, we appreciate what you did from the fans, from the owners, from the sponsors, and that is really cool.
Yeah, you're right. It really does. People don't understand how many hours are put into this, how much this sacrifice not only that we make as drivers or car owners, but that our families make and our wives and kids make. So like I said, again, that's why it's an award, not just for me, but for my whole family and what they've gone through to make my dream come true. And, you know, and all the injuries I've had, I don't think there's anyone in the country that's racing a sprint car has been injured as much as I have, unfortunately, but and still going. But, you know, that's one of the things I said. I'm pretty proud that most of my career, unfortunately, I've owned my own team, which I don't really want to, but I've made it work owning my own team, and we're not a wealthy family, and I've been through a lot of injuries, and I thought about quitting many, many times, believe me, and my wife, Lori, has been 100% behind me, wouldn't let me quit, actually, and, you know, without her, we definitely wouldn't be where we're at right now, but, you know, to be injured as much as I have, it's pretty difficult to come back from it and own my own team and trying to pay the bills and make it all work is really difficult, so to be put in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, you know, makes it all pretty much worthwhile.
Terry, you and Lori have been working tirelessly all year for your big event coming up on Monday, August 7th.
It's not an everyday job by any means, but it's something we think about all the time. And we work so hard that, you know, it's impossible to make everybody happy. But I think I know about every aspect of what it's like to be at the races from being a little kid, because my dad was a race car driver when I was little, and to be a driver and a car owner. And, you know, my wife and kids understand the other side of it, being a wife and kids, and then trying to promote and make everybody happy. Like I said, it's pretty difficult, but we try really hard, and I think we've done it a lot. We try to keep coming up with different types of races and different things to make the fans happy and the drivers happy. And we've just got a bunch of giveaways for the owners and drivers and just a ton of stuff. You know, all year long, I collect hats and shirts and goodies and stuff from Budweiser and other companies to give away to the fans. And, you know, I always figure if you get a hat or a shirt, you know, basically your ticket was for free. And the race was a bonus. So, you know, we try hard to make the fans happy, and we have a special thing for the kids this year. I got a bunch of old, really collectible, small-scale sprint cars to give out to all the kids that come to the Front Row Challenge. So that's going to be fun for them. And like I said, we try to make everybody happy. You can't always do that, but, you know, we do our best, and I think we do a great job at it most of the time.
And I love your slogan, the one-night stand for 20 grand.
Or come to a party and watch a race break out, the one I've got trademarked, so...
Monday night, August 7th, they're going to see a jam-packed field of some of the greatest sprint car drivers in the United States. If they'd like to get a ticket, how can they go about doing that?
OskyChallenges.com to our website. Get the information, or they can call our office at 515-957-0020, or follow us on Twitter or Facebook, Osky Challenges, at Osky Challenges. Got some exciting news yesterday. It looks like Kyle Larson is put it on his schedule to run. You know, he won the Ultimate Challenge. He got that awesome belt twice with the non-wing cars, but he's going for that first win in the wing cars. He's come close. I think he's ran third before. And so Kyle Larson's going to be there Monday night. And Rico Abreu, his buddy, good friend. And sounds like Danny Dietrich's planning on coming out from out in Pennsylvania. And we got a lot of bonuses for the different drivers from around the country. So again, a lot of goodies to give out, but it's going to be a fun event. It's $30 for adults, and if you want to go in the infield, get there early. You can bring your car in. A lot of people don't understand that. If you get there probably before 6 o'clock, you can drive your vehicle into the pit area and tailgate and throw the Frisbee around and footballs and grill out or whatever. It just can't be over 8 foot tall. There's no additions, no scaffolding, nothing like that. But a lot of people choose to go in the infield. You can't see quite as good, but it's kind of the party atmosphere and a lot more fun down there, and you can bring your own beer and pop or whatever you like. And so we, you know, kind of offer everything for everybody. If you want to go down there, if you want to sit up in the stands and see a little bit better and rub elbows with the rest of the crowd, we can do that too. So the infield is a little cheaper. If you pre-buy, it's $20 for adults, $5 for kids, and $25 for adults on the infield day of the show. So it helps to pre-buy, but it's definitely cost-effective to be down there too.
Terry, thank you so much for everything you do for sprint car racing, and thank you so much for being with us here on the Dirt Show.
Appreciate you having us again. One thing I forgot to mention, too, is this year we added the Race Saver 305s, too, as an addition. I love that class, and it helps these kids get going on these sprint cars. So looking forward to having them there, too. But, again, going to be a fun event. Hope you all can come out.
And, yes, you are right. The 305s are fun to watch. Thank you for being with us.
See you later. Thanks.
Are you sick of trying to sell your car? Hi, this is Ken Snow from Snow's Classic. Avoid all those hassles involved with selling your own car and let Snow's Classic sell it for you. Located right across from Cabela's on I-35, your vehicle gets over 300,000 views monthly, and our highly rated website is visited worldwide. Cars are selling fast, and our inventory is running low. Whether you're selling a vintage car or a late model car, contact us at Snow's Classics today at 214-3554 and sell your vehicle the hassle-free way.
Hey, you're pretty good with tools. Can you help me with a project?
Sure. What do you have in mind?
Wow, cool.
That's my Batwing Chassis Outlaw Mini Mod. They offer kit pricing for the guys who are handy with the wrenches, and I save $2,000.
Batwing Chassis Outlaw Mini Mods are well engineered, and they're easy to work on. We should have this car ready to race in no time.
Wait a minute. How do you know so much about Batwing Chassis Outlaw Mini Mods?
Because that's mine over in the corner. Turnkey cars start at $8,999.
Yeah, I know.
Now, about that $2,000 you saved, don't you think?
Oh boy, here we go.
Find out more today at batwingchassis.com or call 507-456-5465 anytime.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself who has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one choice for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Welcome back to our special segment here on the Dirt Show, and it is always a pleasure to be joined by Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings. And Speed, you have a big sweet tooth, and you've got a great recipe for peach cobbler.
I'll tell you what, I got a fresh peach cobbler dessert. It's so simple and so good what you do. And if anybody does miss this recipe, just shoot me an email, speed, S-P-E-E-D, at cookies, cookiesbbq.com, because it's not in our recipe book. And what we start out with the ingredients is we got 3 cups of peaches, pitted, peeled, and sliced, 1.5 cups sugar divided, 1 cup flour, 1 teaspoon baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 1/2 cup of butter, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla, 1/2 cup of milk, and 1/2 cup of water. What you do is grease a 9x13 pan and line the bottom of that with the 3 cups of sliced peaches. Then mix 1/2 cup of the sugar, the flour, the baking powder, the salt. Get those all mixed together, all the dry ingredients. And then pour the milk, the vanilla, and the 1/2 cup of margarine in that, and stir that together until it's nice and smooth, and that makes a relatively thick batter. And pour that over the peaches that you've already got layered all out in your pan. Then you combine the last cup of sugar along with that 1/2 cup of water. Just stir that in together real good. You don't have to heat it up or anything. Just stir it up real good. Pour that over the top of that batter. Now, it sounds kind of strange, but just go ahead and pour that sugar water over the top of the batter that you've already put over the top of your peaches. And then throw that in a preheated oven, a 350-degree oven for 1 hour. Pull that out of there. If you want to pour a little milk, a little cream, a little half and half over the top of it, or put ice cream over the top of it. But that batter formed just a nice crust on top with that sugar water on top of that. Most beautiful color, and you talk about tasty. Again, if you missed any of the ingredients or anything, don't be afraid to just shoot me an email, speed@cookiesbbq.com, and just tell them you want the plain peach cobbler deal, and then I'll go ahead and just attach the recipe and fire it back to you.
And Speed, when they have their tailgate party at the track and they serve this, once they get into the stands, if they're missing any of their crew, they know where they are.
Now they're finishing out the peach cobbler.
Oh, yeah, they're back. They're back there eating up the leftovers all by themselves.
Yeah, because you got to watch out. They'll say, why don't you go check the air pressure in the tires? And you always hope that the whole crew goes except you.
Absolutely.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers Car Care products. Justice Brothers products are manufactured for industrial, agricultural, heavy equipment, and automotive equipment. Their high-quality products are used by today's top racing teams. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to automotive enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products Distributor today at 952-934-7354 or visit our website at justicebrothers.com. Go with a winner. Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
This your old friend Speed the Sauce Man. Welcome to the Dirt Track segment brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Thursday night, July 13th, they're racing at Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa. In the A Modified feature, Mike Juergens over Aaron Benson. In the B Mods, Josh Meyer over Colby Fett. In the Hobby Stock feature, Shannon Anderson over Brandon Nielsen. In the Hornet feature, Nate Koopman over Jerry Koopman. And in the Stock Cars, Derek Green over Jake Masters. They were also racing at KRA Speedway in Wilmer last Thursday night, July 13th. In the A Modified feature, Shane Sabraski over Danny Boyer. In the B-Mods, it was Jason Hoffman over Sean Fernks. In the Mod 4s, Matt Halls over Dean Larson. In the Sport Compacts, Justin Skalitsky over Dustin Verkus. In the Street Stocks, Tim Johnson over Justin Vogel. And in the Super Stocks, Tim Johnson over Shane Sabraski. The Jackson Motorplex was racing last Friday night, July 14th, in the 410 Sprint Car A Main. Tim Kading over Mark Dobmeyer. In the IMCA 305 Sprints, Chris Duffy over Trevor Serbus. In the A Modified feature, Roger Nielsen over Dan Mink. In the IMCA Sport Modifieds, it was Dan Poplau over Matthew Loaf. And in the 360 Non-Wing Sprint Car Heartland Racing Association feature, Brandon Halverson over Derek Anderson. Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa was also racing last Friday night, July 14th, in the IMCA Modifieds. Shane Monson over Todd Steinhardt. In the Sport Mods, it was Colby Fett over George Nordman. In the Stock Cars, Ned Kalis over Dan McIntoon. In the IMCA Hobby Stock feature, Andrew Borchard over Austin Jans. And in the Sport Compact feature, Oliver Monson over Lucas Parsons. They were also racing last Friday night, July 14th, at Granite City Speedway in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. In the A-Mod feature, it was Danny Vang over Dennis Check. In the B-Mods, Travis Schulte over Ryan Studansky. In the Mod 4s, Adam Prevey over Robert Holtquist. In the Sport Compacts, Justin Skalitsky over Jake Smith. In the Street Stocks, Tim Johnson over Jim Gullickson. In the Super Stocks, Shane Sabraski over Dave Moss. Chateau Raceway in Lansing, Minnesota was also racing last Friday night, July 14th. In the A-Modified feature, Jason Cummins over Steve Wettstein. The Batwing Chassis 600 Micros were on hand. Ryan Hensel over Tayton Hansen. In the Midwest Modified feature, Dan Wheeler over Garrett Witaski. In the Hornets, it was Cody Hyatt over Nick Silman. In the Pier Stocks, Troy Moss over Jesse Stahl. In the Street Stocks, Noah Grinstead over Bobby Blowers. And in the USRA B modifieds, Caden Kath over AJ Zavorak. Mississippi Thunder in Fountain City, Wisconsin was also racing last Friday night, July 14th. In the 600 mod A main, Brad Kramer over Bruce Schmidt. In the Hornets, J.R. Tortolot over Jason Schlagel. In the A-Mods, Keith Foss over Brad Waits. In the USRA B-Mods, Alex Williamson over Flying Ryan Olson. In the USRA Hobby Stocks, Joshua Ludking over Brady Link. And in the USRA Late Models, it was Lance Hofer over Sean Mann. Saturday night, July 15th, Fairmont Raceway was racing in Fairmont, Minnesota in the compact feature. Terry Blowers over Austin Friedrich. In the Hobby Stocks, Malik Sampson over Justin Lunenberg. And in the A-Mods, what a historic race. Denny Anderson over Kelly Shryock, followed by Mark Noble. A lot of history in those top three. In the Sport Mods, it was Josh Meyer over Matthew Loaf. And in the Stock Cars, it was Dustin Larson over Derek Green. Arlington Raceway was also racing last Saturday night, July 15th. In the IMCA Hobby Stock feature, Corey Probst over Chris Pallman. In the Sport Compacts, Kieran Porter over Alan Lahr. In the Sport Mods, it was John Albrecht over Tom Malchow Jr. In the A-Mods, Clint Hattelstead over Dan Mink. In the Outlaw Hobby Stocks, Brian Oppitz over Maury Oestreich. In the Sprint Cars, Mike Stein over Neil Stevens. And in the Stock Cars, Dan McInthun over Matt Speckman. Deer Creek Speedway was also racing last Saturday night, July 15th. Talladega Nights, free admission to everyone. In the A-Mods, Jake Tim over Dustin Sorensen. In the Super Stocks, Jeff Brower over Tommy Richards. In the Street Stocks, Mike Blowers over Nicholas Schwabach. In the Midwest Modifieds, Jared Baumeister over Dan Wheeler. In the USRA B-Mods, Sean Wolski over Caden Kath. And Colton Brower, Gage Model, and Tucker Jacobs all taking home victories in the Pepsi Slingshots. Viking Speedway in Alexandria, Minnesota was also racing last Saturday night, July 15th. In the A-Modified feature, Phil Brown over Josh Thonis. In the B-Mods, Ron Schurer over Matt Thonis. In the Late Models, Sean Meyer over Greg Meyer. In the Super Late Models, Travis Schurer over Jeff Flatten. In the Pier Stocks, Brock Volker over Tyler Coons. In the Street Stocks, Tim Johnson over Andy Bangson. In the Super Stocks, Tim Johnson over Jeff Krause. The UMSS traditional non-wing sprint cars were also racing at Cedar Lake Speedway last Saturday night, July 15th. Mike Mueller taking a checkered flag over Jimmy Kuba. Ogilvy Raceway in Ogilvy, Minnesota was also racing last Saturday night, July 15th. In the A-Modified feature, Jody Bellafuel over Shane Zabraski. In the B-Mods, Eric Lamb over Jeremy Nelson. In the Mod 4s, it was Tyler Larson over Trevor Rottinger. In the Sport Compacts, Eric Cleesby over Joseph Wilbur. In the Street Stocks, Jim Gullickson over Kevin Schmidt. And in the Super Stocks, Dave Moss over Shane Zabraski. Rice Lake Speedway in Rice Lake, Wisconsin was also racing last Saturday night, July 15th. In the Wissota Modified A-Main, Kevin Adams over Mike Anderson. In the Super Stocks, Aaron Wilson over Eric Olson. In the Wissota Midwest Modifieds, Eric Lindberg over Shane Halopka. In the Street Stocks, Eric Olson over Sam Fankhauser. And in the Pier Stocks, Rob Graben over Tucker Quinn. Knoxville Raceway was also racing last Saturday night, July 15th. In the 410 Sprint Car A-Main, Mark Dobmeyer over Terry McCarl. In the 360 Sprint Car A-Main, it was Clint Garner over Jamie Ball. And in the 305 A-Main, Kelby Watt over Tyler Glass. They also had DTRA dirt trucks on hand, Brad Moyer over Brett Moyer. And they were also racing last Sunday night, July 16th, at Mason City Motor Speedway in your USRA Modified feature, Logan Robertson over Ryan Reuter. In the USRA Stock Car feature, Mitch Hoofden over Cody Friedrichs. in the USRA B-Mods, Josh Appel over Nate Whitehurst. In the Hobby Stocks, Andrew Borchert over Zach Smith. And in the Tuners, Mitch Ballack over Kyle Ballack.
Hey, this is David Noble, old number 75. You're listening to The Dirt Show.
Hi, this is Harvey West. You've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.